Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, it's one thing to prepare a given sermon on a week-to-week basis. It's something else to plan a preaching schedule for a month or two ahead. I see those two as very different tasks. What about you?
Well, they are different tasks, I agree. I think that both of them are difficult tasks, and they're related to one another, but they're different again. One is what I preach this week. There's an immediate pressure to know where you're going, but another is to back off and say, what are we setting as far as the direction for the next couple of months or whatever? So I would say of the two, ministers probably would find the latter the harder job. They're so used to the preaching schedule. I have to have a sermon this Sunday, and they're good at thinking ahead on it, but sometimes it's harder to say, okay, what is the word from the Lord in a bigger sense, apart from this given Sunday, that he really wants said to these people? That's a harder thing to struggle with. That's not the routine necessarily. So I hear what you're saying. I think they are two different tasks, and I would say of the two, I would have found the latter, where are we going in the next 2 or 3 months or longer. That would be harder than what is the immediate thing that I can preach on this week. There's so many preaching ideas, but the ideas don't necessarily fit into what is the really opportune word from the Lord right now. So yeah, I see them as different.
So what advice do you have for someone who wants to tackle this problem?
I'll tell you a story rather than give you advice. Okay, maybe that's the easier way to go at it, because this is something that happened just recently. Our pastor, who is a very good communicator, he came and he asked me, if you were going to get a word from the Lord as to what should be preached for the next 2 or 3 months, knowing where our church is at the moment, what do you think would be the emphasis? And I said, well, boy, that's hard just all of a sudden to come up. And I hadn't even thought about that question. I said, just give me a little while to kind of process. And he actually, after the phone conversation, came to my office and said, okay, you've thought about it. What do you think? So he was asking this very question. And I said, I believe if I have a mind of Christ, which I don't guarantee, I think that Christ would preach on unity. I think that our church is fragmented in different ways right at the moment. And I would say it's extremely important to come together and be unified in what we're doing, which includes being careful what you say about other people, making sure nothing is done to break that unity of a church. Now, that may not be appropriate for another church, but I felt that was very appropriate for where we were. Well, it's interesting because our pastor has put together a group of four of us. I'm one of four, and then he's the fifth person. And he goes to those people for advice as to, you know, how he's doing and what needs to be said in the future. It was interesting to me when I said to him, I think it should be an emphasis on unity. He kind of listened to that, and then a little while later, he told me what he was preaching on, which was something else. I thought, well, I did my best shot, but it didn't seem to take. Well, anyway, this group of four of us met with him 2 days later, and to his credit, he said to the group the very same thing. What would you say would be the topic that Jesus would want preached on for the next, say, 2 months? And wouldn't you know it, the guy sitting next to me, he said, I think the Lord would want us to pull together. We're kind of fragmented in different directions, and we need to work on just being one together and making sure that our relationships were all positive, and especially our words. Well, I was sitting there, and I was thinking, golly, that's exactly what I said. And then as soon as he finished, another one in the group who happens to be a communicator, he's a college professor, he said, yeah, in fact, he said, the only thing I changed from what was just said, I would say that should be our emphasis for the next 6 months. And then the last person in the group, I mean, two have spoken, I haven't said anything, and the last person in the group said, I'm really in agreement with that. That's really where our church is right now, and that needs to be the emphasis. And our pastor, to his credit, said, well, I think I'll change what I had originally thought because now I'm getting this from everywhere, and you are probably right. Well, to his credit, he didn't just say, okay, that's what you think, but I'm going to do this anyway. But I thought the group process in a very wonderful way, he had asked us to think about it, at least he did with me, and I came up with an answer, and then I had enough sense to keep my mouth shut to see what the other people were. And everybody was in agreement, but that group process was very compelling to the pastor then. And I'm not sure, having just talked to me, that he was going to go that direction. But at that point, he said, okay, this is where we're going to go then. And now help me more. And then there were further comments. The meeting went for probably an hour and 15 minutes. And when it was all done, he had laid out the next five Sundays as to where the direction would be, all on this theme of unity. And then he also was saying, because you think it needs to go further, what are other areas that are related to this that would all be on this unity theme? So he, you know, he was putting great emphasis on the group process. And I thought that was really wonderful. And I thought to myself, you know, I wonder if I would be smart enough to do that, because I never remember a group of five people who were all in the communication world who I would go to for advice and say, where are we headed? But I thought that was a wonderful experience. So there's my story. It's not exactly advice, except to say I think our pastor did very well, and he accepted what was there and took that as a word from the Lord. And that settled in his mind where the whole church was going to go, at least for the next month and probably for the next several months.
That's a fabulous story. And I think that story leads to a lesson, doesn't it?
Well, go ahead. Give me the lesson that you're saying.
Well, I think the lesson that I'm hearing anyways is that there's great power in that group setting. And sometimes pastors need to form a group around themselves that they can trust, that are spiritually mature people that can help them discern what God wants to say to the congregation.
Yeah, I think if that group is carefully chosen, and I have very good feelings about all the people who are in the group, and I respect them, I think you could get certain people in there. I mean, if you have a guy who's a potato farmer, maybe I wouldn't put as much weight in what he's saying, but all of the people in that group are communicators of one kind or another. They are people who I respect their opinion. At that point in time, if it's a carefully chosen group, there is immense clout in that group. If I had to be in there and say, potato, I'm not opposed to potato farmers.
Yeah, but I was trying to say, all of the potato farmers that are also pastors just switch us off. The key there, isn't it, is the spiritual maturity and knowledge base to draw on to be able to assist.
Thank you. You're helping me in the realm of
communication. Mm-hmm. Spiritual maturity to discern what God wants to say to the congregation, and knowledge of communication skills and techniques and so forth to know the best way to say it. That's what you're trying to
agree.
Pull together.
Yeah, it's just not a random group.
Right.
So in that sense, it was incredibly effective. And I think that he had great confidence in the group. And I've thought back on that, and I never did that. I wasn't smart enough to do that. I had many people giving input to my messages, but not that key group that can say, okay, where is this church? What needs to be said for the next X number of weeks or months? And I probably also would say that it hadn't occurred to me that it could extend beyond the question that he asked me. When he said, where should we be going in the next month or two? I took his question and framed it in my mind that way, whereas one of these persons said, we need to go longer than that, because it's going to take a while before we break through as a congregation to where we want to be. So let's think longer than just 2 or 3 months. And that was new to me too. So yes, I think the group, it gave tremendous comfort to the pastor in that situation to say, we're all lined up together now, even though that's not where he was. And then to his eternal credit, because he's preached the first series in that, he did put aside what he had been working on and went into this unity theme. He got a whole new text. Everything was different. And he preached a sermon, and I heard it, and I thought, that's really good. Now I'm kind of anxious to see where it goes from now on, how he's going to build on that. It was a really good, good initial sermon. So, yeah, it was a good reminder of how he did that, and I learned from him.
Let me make sure I understand this. He had actually begun to preach a particular theme, and he stopped that and moved to this new theme of unity in the church. So he was smart enough to know that it's sometimes necessary to make a mid-course correction.
Yes, that's
exactly
what he did.
Which we had talked about in a previous podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, to his eternal credit, indeed. He's obviously a smart fellow and willing to do the right thing. Putting the needs of the congregation above his own personal needs, because he probably had invested time in the other subject, but here's the group giving him advice.
There's no question he had, because that's why he didn't want to put it aside. There was that resistance, because he was saying, you know, this is a good sermon. I got a great illustration of how it works. Yeah. And he had to put that on hold for a while. So yeah, to his credit, that's a very beautiful thing.
Let me explore one other aspect. As you're talking about this group, there's probably some wisdom in not widely publicizing that this group is in place because of issues that might arise of spiritual pride among people that aren't a part of the group. Would that be a fair thing to at least consider?
I don't know what his thinking process has been, but I don't think there's anybody in the church even knows that the group meets.
And that's probably a good thing, as opposed to some of the other suggestions we've made in other podcasts, where we're drawing things quite publicly from the congregation as a whole. That's one technique that works very well, but it's fine for everybody to know it's happening because you're giving anybody who wants to give input an opportunity. You talked about the card that you put in the bulletin asking for people's help. This situation, though, where you're relying on a specially chosen group of people, very specifically chosen, it probably is better if it stay under the radar so that it doesn't cause people to have problems with their own spiritual pride that they weren't included in the group.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said.
One of the problems, of course, is it's easier to do things like this under the radar in a larger church. It's a bit harder when it's a smaller congregation, so the pastor is going to have to wisely choose and probably not even make an issue about it being secret, but because sometimes when you tell someone this is something we shouldn't talk about, the first thing they do is go and talk about it. But just generally to choose people that are mature enough to realize that this is something that should be between them and the pastor and the Lord and kind of work without any kind of public recognition for what they're doing.
But it also says that the pastor was not in a position where he thought he was the only one who could get a direct line to God as to what should be preached. He was comfortable with saying, give me input here. And it doesn't mean that he has abandoned that responsibility. It just means that he's asking for outside help to give him a broader perspective of what is going on. I thought it was great. And that's why I guess I didn't give you advice. I gave you a story, and the story is effective.
The story is, in fact, advice. And we've learned that a group can usually discern what God wants preached to a congregation better than an individual can.
Yes.
We're so glad you joined us for our podcast, for our time together today. We know you found this podcast through our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website where we have resources to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And as we always do, with great joy and anticipation, we invite you to return and join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.